For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome to another Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast. Here with Jacob here, Taylor's in the room here too. We keep promising to start our guest series, we will. Our first guest might be Philip Rivers, just trying to figure out a time, and then we'll talk about some basketball, March Madness, and get into a slew of others. But let's talk today more about, we talked about what was happening going into combines last week. Now let's talk about what's coming out of combines this week, that combines that just finished. And I think there are a lot of topics, and of course, some baseball and basketball, a bunch of basketball stuff. Things go year round.
Yeah, it's heating up this time of year. I think we thought there was some speculation that Marvin Harrison was skipping the medical process of the combine. It turned out it was a different top pick. Caleb Williams chose not to do that. He's, I guess, doing it when he meets with teams. What does that even mean?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's get this straight. Combines are optional. There's no question that most guys do everything. It's like a job interview. It's like a job fair. Maybe that's the best way to look at it. Right. It's a college job fair, okay? So if you're trying to find a job and you don't know what you want to do in life, you're going to visit every booth and fill out every questionnaire and take interviews and sign up and do whatever. But if you're the valedictorian with 7 patents to your name and what have you, you may not do all of the job fair, right? And that's Caleb Williams. That's Marvin Harrison Jr. And there's some strategy going on there. And not sure what's going on behind the scenes. And this is why I've been fairly defensive about both of them. Everything at the combine is optional. Now, I think a lot of times people just go with the flow. And that's why most kids do most things. But, you know, we told the story last week all the time. Someone said, I'm not running the 40. Why? Well, my hamstring's a little sore, but I'm doing everything else. So is this a real hamstring injury that we need to check, or is this an agent hamstring? You were told not to run it, you know?
Right.
It's been going on for a long time. And out of the 330 people at the combines, I get it. You single out Caleb Williams. You single out Marvin Harrison Jr. But I think well over half of the people there don't do everything.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a quarterback. I'm not benching. They don't require quarterbacks to bench anymore. But, you know, it's I'm a lineman. I'm not running the 40. There's right. No point of my risking a hamstring strain. Yeah. And you're not paying me to run 40 yards. And so, whereas other ones want to show off their speed and quickness and do it. A lot of kids don't do the 3-cone drill. They don't do X, Y, and Z. So every drill, every medical exam, every interview is indeed optional. There is no requirement. And since these players are not part of the union, you cannot make Marvin Harrison Jr. show up to a media session that was scheduled. Now, maybe there was some miscommunication. If he had no intention of going to the media session, it might have been nice if he said, I'm electing not to go, instead of looking irresponsible. Because I did see some media saying, well, he's supposed to be here. He's not here. He's not here. He's supposed to be here. Now, if he never agreed to come, I mean, look, if you're going out on a dinner date with somebody or a dinner meeting with somebody and they don't show, I mean, if they, in theory, had agreed to the meeting and don't show, that's probably not good. Agreed to the date and don't show. If they said, look, no, I'm not going out on a blind date. I never agreed to come to this.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
Right.
And you can't get mad at that person. So that's where the mystery is. Did he agree to it? Sounds like probably he didn't. And there just wasn't any communication that he wasn't going. And then now he's blamed for bucking the system. Yeah. It's all optional. just like when you're up on the podium, you don't have to answer every question that's asked of you. Does Bill Belichick ever answer every question? He has mandatory media sessions.
Yeah.
But it's not mandatory for him to answer every question. It's not mandatory for everyone to do all the tests. We knew Marvin Harrison is going to go through medical because nobody skips medical. We talked about that last week. That's the whole point of it. Now you're going to say, what about Caleb Williams? He's skipping medical. Not really. He's doing it individually with the teams. And so there's no way he's refusing a Bears physical and medical exam. Probably not Washington. And I don't know how much deeper he's going to go, right? I mean, it's probably just Bears. His point is valid that perhaps, you know, why should he give the Cardinals and the Chargers and people who have no chance or no desire to draft him access to his medical records? And I get why people would say that, because I think it's really bad form that in the past, the IQ tests and the Wonderlic scores were revealed, and I think it's bad form when there's medical information that's leaked out there. And yeah, there's been some. And so I get why they maybe, he has a right to privacy. Look, if you notice now in your doctor's office, when they come out, Jacob, they don't say Jacob Cisneros. They don't say Mr. Cisneros. Right. They say Jacob. Because
you could the muscle is an initial.
I mean, when I call a patient and it goes to voicemail, I'm not supposed to say, this is Dr. David Chow, your orthopedist. This is not Dr. Chow's office. This is a doctor's office calling. Please call us back. Because if someone else hears the message, they know you have an orthopedic problem. Now, you probably don't care because it's not that big of a deal, but it is your right to privacy. So I respect that from Caleb Williams. The only thing I'd say is you got to understand the medical process is long. Like by the time you do a full physical and you do the EKG and a treadmill if necessary and this test and that test, and if you're going to do them for a couple teams, you're repeating exams. He's got some logistical issues that it might have been easier. I mean, I think he might have been better off saying, I'll do the medical exam, but you can only release it to the teams that I allow you to release it to. And I'll do the orthopedic exam at this point in time. And these are the three teams that can attend. It would have been almost easier.
Right.
Right. But whatever. I'm wondering, and I don't know the answer to this question. You got to understand what I've said is I'm not bashing Caleb Williams for not doing the physicals at the combines. What I've said all week when that news came out was it's unprecedented. No one has ever passed up. In my experience, a lot of people have modified what their physical is, but no one has not shown up to physicals. No one has not gone to the one medical room in all six of the orthopedic rooms. They may have said, you can't tug on my knee, and we talked about that. They may have modified the exam, but no one doesn't do medical. Caleb Williams is the first one not to do medical ever, and he's going to do them individually. So even he is not refusing. He's just refusing at combines. And of course, there's the what does he have to hide? But he hasn't missed any time. We never thought there was
we went through it.
Big deal. But I think we're going to get to it. As a result of the combines, there were three or four guys that people found stuff on that were said to be healthy, and we'll cover that. Maybe he's avoiding that. I don't know. But I wonder if part of it is he doesn't have an agent. And I think he got unfairly bashed, or his dad, about there were reports that his dad asked prospective agents about getting equity in a team. You can ask. It's not happening.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
I mean, Tom Brady who is retired, needed approval of NFL owners to get equity in a team and to buy it. You cannot do that.
Right.
It's against league rules, and anyone would tell you that. If Tom Brady unretired, he'd have to sell his interest in the Raiders.
Right.
I mean, so it's a fair question for dad to ask. It may, you know, I think we've all asked for stuff that we know aren't going to happen, but just in case, you know, I mean, could I, you know, kind of deal. But I think he got done dirty by the agents that clearly he and his dad are not going to hire by then leaking to media that he asked for this, you know, kind of thing. I think he got done dirty there. So I'm not anti Caleb Williams, but I do think it's unique to refuse physicals, and he is going to do them in some way, shape, or form. But secretly, is there something else at play here? I'm just wondering. And who knows what the NC2A rules are nowadays? Right. I mean, because what is the NC2A and what are the rules? By not hiring an agent, Marvin Harrison and Caleb Williams, does this give them more leverage to return to college in NIL money? Because I believe in the past for basketball, if you don't hire an agent, you can go back.
You can always go back,
Assuming those are the same rules. And I don't, who knows what the rules are now. But I mean, Caleb Williams can go back and make a bunch of money at USC. Marvin Harrison, I would imagine too. So is this leverage for them to get to the right team? I don't know. But what are the most famous cases of players leveraging to get to a team that they want to go to, or a team against a team they don't want to go to?
I think you mentioned here Eli Manning in the same draft as Philip Rivers.
Eli Manning was one. And the other famous one was John Elway.
Right.
Right. Were there other big famous ones? But they both did physicals.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. So it's an unusual tact. And maybe it's going that way more and more as people express their personal freedoms. It is his right. It is optional. I mean, let's put it this way. If I'm coming out of medical school and I'm interviewing for residencies, I don't know if you realize this. They literally, some places would have one date for an interview that you would have to fly in.
Really?
For fellowship and or residencies, depending. You know, you can say for fellowship, you can say for residency. And they say, well, but I'm applying to two fellowships and they're both on the same day. And they would say, choose which one you want to go to more, right? I mean, it's their rules. And you can decide to fly in and apply or not decide to fly in and apply. It's up to you. Yes, this is a combine. It's a little bit different. But when team requests to interview with you, famously Ryan Leaf, there's lots of story where he no-showed or decided not to show, was told not to show. The interviews with the Colts or any team are optional. You could just refuse the interview, just like refuse the media session or not show up.
Right.
It's all optional. There's no fine system. There's no whatever. Now, how will the teams now view you is a different question. And I'd be surprised if Caleb Williams' draft stock is hurt by this. I mean, I saw someone put up, the odds are astronomical. I mean, it's like minus 900 is the is the quote best odds or worst, however you want to say it, that he's going to the Bears.
Sure,
minus. That or not going to the Bears, going as the first pick.
As the first pick.
Whether to
whoever
the Bears
has
or
the first pick. Now, to your point, just on the drills specifically are optional too. Of the 321 players invited, 72 did the bench press, 77 the three cone drill, 89 did the shuttle, 220 did the 40-yard dash, 222 did the broad jump, and 230 did the vertical. So,
well, I don't think we heard of a case of someone tearing their pec. And we talked about that last week, that for the last few years going back, there's been an average one pec tear from doing the bench press. That may be why there's only 72 guys doing it now instead of 320, right? 225 max bench press. And I get it. There are a couple guys that pulled their groin or hamstring running the 40. Now they're not doing the drills, right? That's part of it. So I get why people are electing. But yeah, there you go. There's an example. We highlight the guys at the top that aren't doing X, Y, and Z. But the reality is, look, for years, the best quarterbacks have not thrown at the combines. That's been normal.
Yeah.
Going back years. But anyways.
Yeah, Marius Mims with the right hamstring, the offensive tackle, ginormous offensive tackle, I think 6'7" and three quarters was measured at, 360, 340, something like that. And then Nate Wiggins was the Clemson cornerback that had a groin running the 40. Ran a 4.29, but said he felt a pop, so didn't run anymore.
So ran a 4.29 and felt a pop. That's pretty
good. Yeah, what are you running if you don't feel a pop?
Yeah, that's pretty darn good. I found it interesting that the guy who's now the fastest ever recorded the combines, he initially was announced to have an unconfirmed 4.25.
Yeah. 4.22, and then it went to 4.21.
How does that happen? It's like fantasy football recalculations. CMC got one extra yard, one less yard, or then you lose your lose for the week, right? I mean, how that get determined? I don't know.
Did you see the Barstool Sports? They have their little combine thing. What they did is they had a bunch of people doing times, and when you were done, you got to pick which one you wanted. You got to choose.
That might have been what happened.
Everybody was choosing the same guy because he was the one getting the best.
And Taylor in the room just did something here. So this is also, he did. You get time like this.
Yeah. Nope. That's not what they do, right?
No. You realize nobody does that.
No one does that.
They don't click the button.
No. All the scouts are there. Actually, when you're there at the 40, they're all lined up at the finish line, a lot of them. And everybody's individual, they're hand timing it too. Yeah. And they'll put down hand time versus machine time versus official time. They'll have three different times, right? Yeah. And there'll be guys at the 10-yard, 20-yard mark doing that split.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you have like 50 guys lined up at the 40-yard line finish. And you know how every one of them holds their stopwatch? Index finger.
Yeah.
Okay. It's shown that index finger is quicker and more accurate than thumb. Yeah, okay. Try and do your thumb real quick versus your index finger. Yeah. Quicker, right? Yeah, more accurate. Okay. So if you see a scout timing like this,
not a good scout.
Take his time.
Medical.
There you go.
There you go.
Little things, okay? No, boom. Sure. That's how they all time. Anyways, there's the insider knowledge here.
Yeah.
Here yeah.
Interesting one that popped up. Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback out of Alabama, was discovered to have a Jones fracture during the medical process of the combines. They said obviously he wasn't going to work out at the combines, but he still plans to do the pro day on March 20th in, what is that, 2 weeks?
Do you know why?
How come?
He's not allowed to at the combines.
Ah.
Because he didn't pass the physical.
So you don't pass, you're not doing any drills no matter what?
Nope.
That's why you walk into the hospital before you walk into
Some of it, you don't pass the physical, you don't get on the field.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And some of it is liability. Mm. Okay. So if he has a Jones fracture.
And they let him out there.
Out there and it gets worse. And you let him out there. You caused it. Liability. If you go back to, and I don't know if this year it's come out yet. Every year there's usually a couple kids that get ruled out with a heart issue. But then take additional tests and maybe are okay. Yeah. Those are not allowed to work out either. Like Maurice Hurst was a famous example.
I think Sean Tucker was one of them last year.
Yeah. And usually, fortunately, when they do additional testing, they get cleared. But they're provisionally not cleared. Mm. Therefore, you can't get on the field. So it wasn't his choice not to work out.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it at pro day. He's not allowed to. He didn't pass the physical.
Yeah.
But he's saying, look, I'm good enough. I trained. I could have done it, but you're not letting me. So fine, I'm going to show off at pro day and then have the surgery.
Is there varying degrees of Jones fracture? Obviously, fracture sounds like bad. You can't run on it, but.
No question. There's a Jones fracture typically is a stress fracture. There's acute Jones fractures. There's stress fractures. I can tell you, because it's out there now, that when Michael Crabtree came through, wide receiver, he was discovered with a Jones fracture and talked to him about having surgery or this, that, the other. And so it does happen. And he's playing through it. He didn't know it.
Right.
He's running and training through it. He feels something. Someone orders an X-ray or an MRI or a CT scan, and they see a Jones fracture. So he's going to need surgery. He's going to have it after his pro day. So he wants to show off and then have it. I don't know where he's going to get drafted projected-wise, but – it may affect him a little bit in the draft, and here's how. Number one, there's no way by the time of the draft you'll know if he's fully healed yet. You can only project his healing.
Gotcha.
Number two, chances are high of a Jones fracture historically on the other side at some point in his career. Number three, he's going to miss all of OTAs and maybe he's ready for camp, but – you're going to miss some OTAs, et cetera. So I don't think it's going to make him fall off the draft board. But if there's two that are tied, you might end up with the other one.
Right.
If he's better than the next guy, he'll still get drafted right where he's supposed to be.
So most big boards, he's at least a 28. So, like, is there a chance he falls out of the first round, maybe, would be the question to ask.
there is a chance, depending on how the draft board goes. And yes, I know there's draft odds and first round pick odds. And I'd say if he really is at 28, he might drop out of the first round. Because first round, especially a defensive guy, you're looking for an impact player. Much harder to learn scheme and be an impact player year one if you don't have OTAs. It's not impossible.
Right.
He's one of four, too. He's not like the first guy. There's at least three to four other guys he might be able to choose
from. Right. And so that may be something we look at in terms of draft odds. But the other thing about that also is, guys, that besides, it might not be the worst thing for him to drop out of the first round. You know why that is?
Better situation.
The goal with the rookie salary cap is to get to contract two. Doesn't matter where the pay difference between 28 and 33 is not that great. Everyone at that level would want to get to the free agent year a year more quickly. First round picks, they control you for 5 years. Now that it's a fifth year option,
right?
But the fifth year option does not exist for a second round player. So you get to freedom a year sooner and potentially big payday. So it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world
for a cornerback as well. If he proves himself in those 4 years.
Right. Contract. You, I mean, if I were, I get the ego of being a first round draft pick, but also less pressure.
Right.
Yeah, pressure.
And so if it were my son, and I could draw up being drafted the 33rd pick or the 32nd pick, I'd say go 33.
Yeah.
You know, if you could. I mean, of course, it depends on the team, the situation, but you'd rather get freedom in 4 years than in five. Because if you're playing well, you're just going to get fifth year optioned. And what happens if you get injured that year, right? I mean, you're, and there's different rules. This is actually why there have been a lot of trades at the end of the first round. It's about, especially a late round court, first round quarterback. It's about the fifth year of control.
Wow,
is what it's about.
Yeah, we've seen teams move up in the past couple of drafts to get a quarterback at the end of the, right at the end of the first round.
Correct.
Yeah,
and the reason why is a fifth year of control. If they're doing well, we get them cheaper for a fifth year, as opposed to in the fourth year we've got it only 4 years of control.
Right.
So there's a lot of interesting things out there. And in terms of the – and this is actually where running backs are continuing to get devalued, because it doesn't matter if you're a quarterback, a running back, or a left tackle. You're slotted into the first top picks. Mm-hmm. And the rookie scale, wage scale, is proportionately – is even no matter what position you are. But for a running back – getting paid, it's lower nowadays.
Yeah.
So you're not getting the free value. See, if you control a quarterback, you're getting free value during his first contract. But if you have a first round running back, you're not really getting a lot of free value. They're almost getting market value.
Right.
That's part of the continued devaluation of running backs currently.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think last week we talked about Jonathan Brooks a little bit, but just the Texas running back coming off the ACL, projected as one of the top running backs off the board in the draft, but we're kind of have some hesitations because of that year.
Well, I don't know where he's slotted and where he's going to go. We need to look at that again, but I think it might cost him a little bit, the devalued running back. And we all know first year after ACL is not the best year. So you're asking the guy to overcome an injury and jump a level of play. Although he's obviously very good.
Right.
It may not be the best mixture there. And I don't know where he's projected, but we can look at that. I know nowadays there's a lot of draft prop bets out there and so forth, but that's one to look at too.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're saying
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In our article that we published on the website, that instead of 4 years of control, kind of looking at three healthy, productive years of control for a guy in that situation.
But that's above my pay grade, right? That's GM stuff. But just trying to give you a little insider knowledge on some of this works. And we'll look at some of those prop betting markets as they get released, et cetera.
Don't want to stray into the GM territory, but the time clock, absolutely up the alley.
You know what?
First-hand experience. I like it.
I mean, look, usually we were done with medicals, and a lot of people went back to take a nap because there was an evening meeting,
right.
Long days. I'd go walk around the floor and the things. And
yeah, it's a cool experience.
And just to check things out. What are they all doing? They're all doing that. And then the scout would tell me, you know, what are you doing?
You know,
what's your deal there? Another good one I'll say is Antonio Gates. I'll give you a quiz question. Has Antonio Gates ever been to Combine? Was he ever at Combine?
No, I don't think so. I'm only saying that because you're asking the question. So must have been no.
He was a free agent. No, he was not at his Combines, but yes, he has been to Combines.
When did he go the previous year?
No. When he was coming off his toe injury, we were trying to get it fixed and so forth. And I finally said, and the team said to me, and it's a shame he didn't get in the Hall of Fame year one.
Right.
He should have been. He will still. But he had a bad toe issue. And the team was at the Combines. The team would tell me, well, what are you going to do about it? So what do you want me to do about it? I say he needs surgery, but, you know, they're like, we got to settle this. We got to get him going. And so his foot toe injury was complicated, and I didn't want to do it. It's not my area of expertise. So I called Gatesy and said, Gatesy, why don't you, you're in Detroit. We're in Indy. It's a really quick flight. Why don't you hop on a plane, come here tomorrow, and I'll put three of the best foot specialists in the same room together. It's one visit. You talk to all three of them. You get the joint opinion of the three of them, and you get to pick which one does your surgery.
Wow.
Just come. And he said, okay. And so I was kind of a hero to the team. Oh, you got him going here. And then I probably should get Gates on the podcast and let him tell the story.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And actually, I'll do it. Well, I don't care. I've been too far down the story now. And I think secretly, we'll have to ask him this at the podcast.
Sure.
One of the reasons he agreed, and it wasn't because of my persuasive talents. Partly it was because he's close, and partly it was efficient. And I think a big part of it was, after we're done with the thing, you're good? Yeah, we're good. He goes, he wanted to walk around and check out the combines. He goes, I've never been before.
Yeah.
And so I was like, huh, you never been? I was like, oh, that's right. You're a free agent. You never came.
Yeah.
So I walked him around. We went down the field. He looked at all the shenanigans and everything was happening. So yes, he has been to combines, but not as an official invitee.
That's great.
Well, except invitee of me or what have you.
Invitee to, yeah.
He didn't go there, but I didn't know he went as you.
I know. He's ever been to the combines is how I asked the question. So yes, he has. He's been to the combines.
He has not participated though.
Yeah, it depends on participation.
Well,
the modified participation of the combine.
He participated in a medical exam at the combine.
And he was an invitee, a special invitee. He was inside the building. He was at combines. But he didn't get a tight end 11
right.
or a jersey souvenir. But yeah, so yeah, he, and I think part of his agreeing to come was I wanted to check out combines.
Yeah. Wouldn't get another chance. So why not? Well, I want to switch gears. The NBA had a big New York injury in the game yesterday. Fortunately, looking like it's not that bad with Jalen Brunson, but first minute of the game seemed like he bumped knees on a screen. And then when he was going up for a jump shot, something weird happened. So,
okay. I really haven't weighed in real strongly on that on social media, and not because I didn't see it, because you all sent it to me. I just don't like doing, it could be this, it could be B, it could be C,
yeah.
It could be D. I don't like guessing.
No corny tricks.
Yeah.
And a lot to it, too. You had to see the collision on the screen before and then him jumping and
remember,
off.
There's only one view.
Yeah.
And I was like more than one angle.
Right.
Yeah, I get he knocked knees. I get it was, quote, non-contact. So non-contact, I saw the Twitter speculation. ACL, he's done. ACL, MCL. Well, it does not look like an ACL. Okay, that I could say. As far as he's got knocked knees and then it's a nerve issue, maybe, and I get why people might say that because the way the foot maybe droops a little bit, but at least on the video that I saw, I don't see the right angle for it to hit the peroneal nerve. That's the nerve you'd be talking about.
Gotcha.
And that's not where the contact of the knee was. And there is some suspicion of mine that it may be his patella where it subluxed, not dislocated like Patrick Mahomes, right, but it subluxed. That would explain everything too. I just don't like going multiple choice, and yeah, I don't like tweeting out. It could be a left patella subluxation, which would mean this, and it could be a peroneal nerve issue, which would be this.
Right.
You know, you're playing multiple choice. So those are ones that I sort of take a pass on.
It sounds like you don't 100% like agree with the whole contusion that was.
Well, contusion is a very generic description. Right. Look, a contusion can be a patella contusion from the subluxation of the kneecap.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It could be from a knee to the thigh or knee to the knee or knee to the fibular head and the nerve. It could be. I'm not against it. I just, you know, contusion is so generic. And we value our 95% correct moniker, like,
right,
we're not here to guess on multiple choice. So yes, I'm sorry, we didn't weigh in strongly on Jalen Brunson. I hope it's a simple contusion and nothing else, mm-hmm, and sort of a temporary shutdown, be it of a nerve or the muscle. I don't think it's an ACL. I don't think it's season ending, and simple straightforward contusion is better than patella subluxation. But there you go. I say I'm not going to multiple choice guess, but I put out two potential, which is why we're not trying to pretend we know something we don't know and just guess. I do sometimes see people say, well, it's either his meniscus or it's his MCL or it's his ACL. Ah, see, I was right. It's his MCL, right? I mean, we don't try and get down on that level there. But I will say the way that he went off, whatever it is, I'd be surprised if he all of a sudden plays the next game.
Yeah.
I don't even know when his next game is.
Yeah, Tuesday and then next Friday. So I guess we'll find out pretty quick. If he has a chance for Tuesday, then it must be not that bad.
Tuesday's pretty quick.
Because the report for Tuesday will come out in a couple hours. So we'll see.
Yeah, and we just try and tell you what we know. Right. Let's go to the Duke basketball player, Kyle Filipowski. Did I to say exactly what it was? No, but looking at the video, it said he's more hurt than injured.
Right.
He wasn't faking. I mean, he got his right knee run into, and then he pushed and whatever.
The chaos of the scene.
And the chaos of the scene, being scared and what just happened. I got my knee knocked. But we looked at that. That's not an injury. That's not an MCL. That's not a ACL. That's not a meniscus. That's not an oh my gosh. And he didn't miss any time.
Yeah.
Like, he was hurt. He had a collision on the court. You know, court storming, you can go down that debate again, but he was hurt, not injured. So sometimes what we don't see is as good. And so maybe what I should have said on Jalen Brunson is don't see this as season ending and just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of where we're at, as opposed to giving the specifics. Yeah. Yes.
Well, we're guilty of saying that's not enough, Doc. We know the season's not over. We need to know exactly what it is. So we'll take the blame on that one as well a little bit.
One thing you have to learn in life, I don't know is an okay answer.
Yeah.
I mean, rather than guessing.
That's a fair point. Devin Booker's another one. Right inversion ankle sprain. Their team said he's out 7 to 10 days, which I don't know that we thought it was that severe when we first saw it. And he's had a couple in the past. So
yeah, but what kind of player is he?
Stop on a dime, go up and jump shot.
Yeah. I mean, it's the type of player he is. So, it's just a standard lateral inversion. I don't remember his history, but 7 to 10 doesn't seem unreasonable. And, you know, if they want to play him at less than 100%, maybe it's 7. If they're waiting for closer to 100%, maybe it's 10. Wouldn't surprise me if it were 14.
Yeah.
It's certainly not season ending.
There, someone pointed out it's almost a year to the day that Kevin Durant had the pregame ankle slip before his son's debut. So not great luck for Phoenix as far as ankles in the month of March. Two more interesting ones: that Russell Westbrook and Scottie Barnes both fractured a left hand on the same day. It's kind of murky, the timelines that have been given out. They hope it's not season ending, but it could be varying timelines if they get surgery or not.
They look like metacarpal fractures. And they're rotational spiral fractures, because believe it or not, there's different types of fractures, right? Metacarpal fractures, one's kind of, I hit somebody or fell on a closed fist and then stress to the fracture, or catching the finger and twisting.
Gotcha.
Those are the kind. One was on someone else's leg, a teammate's
leg.
Yeah,
Scotty Barnes hitting on the leg.
And one was on
Westbrook stuck in
right. on someone's arm, and the rotational injuries. They don't all have to have surgery, but if they're displaced, you're better off having surgery. And surgery might speed up return slightly in terms mm-hmm. of mobility. So if they have surgery, I think they can be back in 6 weeks, plus minus, with good luck, a little less than 6 weeks.
Yeah.
4 weeks maybe with good luck, but not going to be more than eight. So I know that puts it up against the season.
Yeah, it's
so
like forth. Right at the start of the playoffs. The NBA playoffs go forever, so it seems like everybody's recovery process catches up at that point.
Or I say the regular season.
Yeah.
The playoffs, the regular season.
Yeah. Last one I had on the list is jumping into baseball. Ronald Acuna is undergoing an MRI today. He has some irritation. An image from the MRI showed the irritation on his knee, the same knee that he had ACL. This was on the meniscus. Is there any cause for concern? They said opening day is not out of the question.
Well, there is cause for concern, but it depends on, we know he tore his ACL right. and we've said it, you know, yeah, on video. And we said he was going to be a DH, and then he came out and played
yeah.
in the outfield, and then he went right back to yeah. DH, yes. right? After that one weird thing when we were like, oh wow, maybe we're wrong there. No, we weren't. It was just a one-off. DH was where he was going to play that year. The question is, and I don't know that's ever been released, we always say not all ACL tears are the same. What was the damage to his meniscus the mm-hmm. first time? Was there a trim? And this is just remaining signal from the trim. Was there a repair, which would be more worrisome? Irritation of the meniscus, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping he doesn't need a follow-up knee scope, but I don't like it. I think there needs to be a bullet to be dodged there on Ronald Acuna to avoid a knee scope, because it's a very long season.
Yeah.
It's not like it's September and let's, you know, make you a DH and let you play through. And
are you expecting maybe a meniscus trim or something in the next couple of weeks, potentially?
I think it's a distinct possibility. Yeah. Without knowing the details or seeing video or right. knowing what he had the first time in terms of meniscus, I don't want to get in the speculation game. But, I mean, if you're really going there, I suppose in this day and age, you have to think his MVP odds have to drop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if he does have a scope, it's going to leak into the season.
Right.
And I don't know that he for sure will, but I think it's something that they're dealing with internally with the Braves right
they
now.
They never said there is damage, but like you said, there always is a chance with an
ACL. They said irritation, but what was the Joel Embiid code words that were
the horizontal flat tear?
Oh, that was late. Before it was issue with the meniscus. Yes,
yeah.
They didn't even say injury. They did not use the word tear. Yeah, right, yeah, I was told that reporters were told to correct that you can't use the word tear. Yeah. He had a meniscus issue.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing irritation of mm-hmm. the meniscus.
Okay.
So what does that really mean?
Yeah.
So it's almost, I guess we've coined coach speak, team speak, or PR speak.
Right.
I mean, irritation, look, irritation of the meniscus or issue with the meniscus is not a medical term that I have regularly used. And we're more specific than
it's
that.
Journalistically yeah. how we would use to describe it. Yeah.
It's kind of like we talked about last week when someone says 3 to 5 weeks, that's just not how you talk yeah. medically. Right, right. 4 to 6 is. So issue with meniscus, that's not how we medically typically speak.
I will say on him, last year we were very high on him because it was the second year off the ACL and he had one of his best seasons, if not his best season of his
career. Acuna, yeah.
So,
yeah, but yeah. It really all depends on what was the meniscus involvement the first
right.
time.
Right.
So is this just MRI signal and they're being sure that there's nothing else? Or look, if there was nothing with his meniscus before, a scope is likely.
Yeah.
If there was a meniscus tear that was repaired before, it's possible. If it's just a trim before, maybe he can get away with nothing. So that's 2 out of 3 chance of potentially having a scope. And that's probably where I would put it, you know. More likely than not, a scope is in his future, but not for sure, is where I would put it.
Typically, this is abundance of caution time in spring training, too. It's,
of course,
it's a long season. If you're feeling anything, sit out a couple of days and let's assess and we'll go from there. So,
and it's amazing, too, that I've often used this phrase. You guys have heard me say it before. You don't have to be this faster than the bear. You just have to be faster than the guy next to you.
Yeah.
And I just got back from Montana, but we didn't see any bears.
No bears.
No bears.
My point is this. In the steroid stuff, baseball was the slowest runner. NFL had an issue too, other sports too. Right. Baseball, steroids. In the load management discussion, NBA is the slowest runner. We have talked about how in the NFL you have load management too, especially downs, third down plays only, not every series, alternate running backs, alternate this, that, the other.
Right.
But since you're playing in the game some, you don't get the ER. But what about baseball? It's routine for load management. Yeah. You know, it's a long season, load management.
Even the DH gets the seventh day off every once in a while.
Now, I get it. It's 162 games. Okay. How many games in basketball?
82.
Half. Twice as many games for does the NBA get twice as much grief for load management than Major League Baseball, or triple. 10 times? Yeah. They get 10 times the grief.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. It's just an observation. The NBA is the slowest runner in the room when it comes to load management.
They made that 65 game thing for the MVP awards, and I saw Jaylen Brown the other day saying 65 might have been too much.
Yeah, but you get my point, right, is load management happens in all sports,
right,
but for whatever reason the NBA load management gets all the criticism, whereas Major League Baseball everyone just goes through, it's a long season, and load management is part of the game.
Well, you guys call it day off. They don't
he just needs a day off.
This is the day off for him. He's getting a day off.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. It's the spin they needed. NBA needs to say yeah. Now I suppose if they signaled far enough ahead the day off, you know, then
in baseball, I feel like you usually do. I feel like the series are set, and I feel like you see the pitcher. Sometimes you're like, all right, that guy's not gonna be able to hit that guy. So in 7 days, he can sit.
I don't think there's that many signs in baseball that's go, oh, I came to see Acuna and he's sitting this Sunday. It's like, it's kind of in baseball. You should have done your research. Yeah. You know, he sits.
Yeah, and then you have the star pitcher who gets scratched or pushed back by a day. Yep. Like, I bought tickets to see Shohei Ohtani pitch. And now you don't get to see him pitch, you know. Year. I mean, not this year. No tickets for that this year. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I did want to mention the MVP odds. So Acuna is +500. He is the leader. And then you have Mookie Betts at +650. Ohtani, who I think is interesting, he should maybe be only up here if he's doing both, I would say. And then Tatis is at 1,000. That's the top at the moment, But like you said, Acuna is the top. If you want to short him now,
I'd fade.
Yeah. between the Dodgers, though, that's interesting. Like, who's the more valuable to that
team? Let me tell you right now, I get it. I'm headed to spring training later this week with my son, Padres. So if I were putting money down, which I'm not because it's California, I would take Tatis out of that four. I'll tell you why. Acuna, we just talked about, he may miss some time. Then you're going to Ohtani, who's not pitching.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe he can hit well enough. But you still have Mookie Betts. He's on the same team. Yeah. It's like two Democrats running in the same election. The Republican's going to slide through, right? I mean,
much value because all the other ones after the ones you mentioned are all 1,000 or more. So if you don't like the favorites, you're looking for stuff to find through the weeds, you'll be able to find key ones.
There are some of the weeds, but right there off that list, I'd say it's Tatis at 1,000 right now. Because guess what? In theory, knock on wood, it's his first full season in how long?
Yeah.
Right. And if he gets a full season and doesn't have another injury, every other year there's been injury or suspension or lingering issue. His shoulder's fixed, his wrist is behind him. I'm talking myself into it, but I'm not betting it. I don't bet that stuff. But and by the way, I'm a Padre fan, so I'm trying to be hopeful there. But that's not a horrible one if you just go by that short list right now.
Tatis leads him to the division title, then that's worthy of an MVP. So,
yep. All right. Thanks for watching Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. We'll get into guests starting next week. Thanks for watching and listening. Please leave a nice 5-star review here on whatever podcast or YouTube mechanism you are in, or subscribe. And always new content at Sports Injury Central, SICScore.com. And we got some exciting meetings this week of new stuff that we're headed towards.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.